Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. As I get ready to tell you about this latest book that I've written called How ADHD Affects Home Organization, I struggle with the fact that I have become an expert both in home organization and in the ADHD mind. You know, I ask myself this question and I wonder, when does a person become an expert? How does that happen? And what are the steps that you take to get there? And I really think that in this day and age that the definition of who an expert is and how you get there is changing. You know, in the past, an expert would have been someone who studied something at college for years and got a PhD, or who did a lot of research and got grants and ran experiments. But today, in the information age, when Google will give anybody a PhD in anything they really have an interest in, what does define an expert? So I really struggle, and my friend said to me, she said, Lisa, you are the expert in ADHD and home organization. The combination of the two is something you have specialized in for the last 20 years. And she's right. It's really weird to realize that you have so much information about something that you didn't even know anything about 20 years ago. And no one has given me a degree from a college or a university or a medical institution to say that, yes, I understand ADHD and home organization at an expert level, but I do. And I have had to struggle in the last year to overcome my own limiting beliefs about what an expert is and how an expert can help someone in order to bring this information to you. So I humbly come to you as a woman who has researched like crazy in these two fields in order to help my kids, honestly. I mean, when I was 24 years old, the only thing I knew about ADHD was it was something that children had when they were in school. I didn't have any family members at all, cousins, distant cousins. I didn't have anyone, none of my friends had ADHD. Like, it just didn't seem to exist in my world. And even when I went to college to become a teacher, I heard about these things called IEPs and learning disabilities and ADHD. I studied them. You know, I was told how to deal with children in my classroom that needed extra attention or learned a different way. And I didn't have any real experience with it until I got into the classroom. Before I had my children, I was in the classroom. I definitely was working with children who are diagnosed with learning disabilities and ADHD. And I was a young 20-something. I mean, the world was my oyster. I could do anything I wanted. And so I just took everything as a challenge. Like, okay, you didn't learn to add this way. Well, then I'll do it another way. I'll do it another way. I'll do it another way. And sometimes I'd make 12 different lesson plans to teach a child something, but eventually I would. I would teach them that skill, whatever the skill was. It helped that I was teaching the younger grades and not, you know, advanced calculus or something like that. But I firmly believed that as a teacher, it was my role to teach. It was not my students' role to learn. Like, I had to adapt my teaching so that they could learn, not that they should adapt their learning so that they could go to my teaching style. And that's just how I've always been. When I was a junior in high school, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. And I had all A's and B's on my report card, but every single report card, I would have one C. And the C would be in a different subject. So it wasn't like I'd get a C in math. I don't know if I got C's in math, actually. I love math. So I'd get a C in reading. And then I'd study extra hard in reading. And then next semester, I'd have a C in science. And then I'd have a C in history. And I was chasing this C for years. I mean, I always had like about a 3-point average on my grade card. I wasn't a straight A student. That really surprised somebody that I talked to the other day. I didn't receive a 4.0 until I was a senior in college. So if you thought I was a straight A student, sorry to burst your bubble. But I was always trying to figure out. I was always very analytical. I was always trying to figure things out. And when I was a junior in high school, I had a C, and long story, but they figured out that I had dyslexia. But at that point, I had gotten so far in school and I'd made so many modifications, and there were actually 600 different kinds of dyslexia, and mine is extremely mild, and there really was nothing that they could do tutor-wise or anything to overcome this dyslexia that I had, because I can read, and my reading comprehension wasn't great. Now it's much better. I couldn't sound out words. I had been taught whole language instead of phonics, so I didn't understand phonics. As my dad said, I couldn't spell wrong right. So when they would get me a word processor, which wasn't really common in that day, we had a word processor for me, and I couldn't phonetically sound out a word so that the word processor could change the word for me to the correct spelling. I don't have a name for the kind of dyslexia I have, but it definitely affects my spelling, and you guys all know it if you've read anything that I've written that Pat or an editor has not had their hands on at least once. I just don't see vowels in letters together as different letters. Like, so for example, just to bring it down to you, this week, today, I was writing the word there, T-H-E-I-R, and I could spell it out loud correctly, but when I type it, I always type T-H-I-E-R. And I always have to look at that word when it's squiggled under that it's wrong, and I say to myself, keep the in there, T-H-E-I-R. I have to link that vowel to the consonant in order to spell the word right. So another one is the word friend. I will always spell F-R-I-E-N-D, F-R-E-I-N-D, like they look exactly the same to me in my mind. So I have to consciously say, no, that's the word friend, you keep the end in friend. I am 45 years old. Do you know how many times I type the word there and friend? And today, typing it today, I had to say, keep the in there, keep the end in friend. It is just the way my brain works, and there's nothing I can do to change that. I have just had to learn to adapt and move on. So in school, when I would have students that were struggling, I would come up with new lesson plans, and you know, I'd come in a bright and bushy-tailed at the beginning of the day, and I would tackle those learning challenges with those kids, and I would make a lot of progress. I didn't have kids at home. So I would come home at night, and I would laminate, and I would cut out things, and I would come up with new ideas to go in the next day. Parenthood is a whole different ball game than being a teacher. Can I get an amen? So when my beautiful little bundles of joy were literally delivered to us by the stork, because we did adopt them, I did not go through physical labor to have our children, I set out to do the same with my children that I did with the students in my classroom, to overcome any challenges that they had, to come up with a different way to show them the world, to whatever was hard for them, to come up with a solution, a workaround, a strategy. And for whatever reason, there were a lot of challenges to overcome. I truly believe that God gives children and matches children and parents, that all children are with the parents that they're supposed to be, and that God uniquely equips the parents for the challenges that the children will have. And that's the case for me. I have been a strong advocate for my kids, and I have changed my opinion over time. At one point, we used no medication whatsoever, and we did everything naturally and through diets and through, I even did chelation and vitamins, and I know how the physical body works at a level that is an expert level, which sometimes is hard for me to understand. But after talking to enough doctors and experts who will tell me that I'm at that level, I do agree with them now. I remember Abby was in a medical study when she was younger. It was for a supplement. And so I learned how this one supplement actually increased the oxygenation level in the brain and then allowed the body to get the glutathione level high enough that the body could detoxify. If your glutathione level in your body is too low, then your body cannot get rid of any toxins that are, you know, that come from smog or the food that you eat or whatever. Like, your body has to have a high enough glutathione level in order to detoxify. Who knows that kind of information? I mean, that's so random. Like, you're probably like, what language is she talking about? And is she going to get around to how this affects ADHD? Yes, I am. So I learned a lot about vitamins. We were in these alternative studies. I was researching like crazy, and I was reading medical studies and things that doctors had done. And on more than one occasion, and with more than one doctor, I have been with the highest level specialist at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and we'll be talking about the medication of my children or what needs to be done. And they, you know, there's a progression, like you go to this medication and then this one, and this one. It doesn't matter what ailment you have, there's a standard protocol and you jump down these medications. Well, I, of course, am getting my PhD through Google, and I know every single medication that treats each of the conditions that my kids have. And so I'll be talking to the doctor and they'll say, okay, well, I think the next medication is this. And I'll know that, but I'll also know the medication after that is Y. And I'll say, yes, but this other one that would be next in the list, I think it will be better because XYZ. And then the doctor will look at me and they go, yep, I was thinking that too, but I wasn't going to bring it up. So let's just go ahead and go with that one. Or we'll start with a dosage level and I'll say, actually, I think we should put that in half because of the reaction to the last medicine that we tried. And they're like, yep, you're probably right. We should do that. Or I'll ask questions like, well, this drug is interacting with this drug. And then if we use this supplement, how is that going to interact? And the doctor stopped me once and she said, Lisa, the questions that you ask me, we still have in research phases. I don't have answers for the questions that you ask me for how we can use these natural supplements, food supplements, and medication to get the brain at optimal level. So I have this crazy obsession with understanding how the mind works, how the body works, and how we can use all kinds of things that we have at our discretion today to improve the way the mind works. Now, when I was coming up with the title of the book, I've had the title for a year, How ADHD Affects Home Organization, Understanding the 8 Key Executive Functions of the Mind. But I, for a tiny, tiny bit, I was going to change the book to How ADHD Affects Home Organization, Learning the Science of Brain Hacking. And immediately there was a visceral reaction from those of you in the Facebook group, like, don't hack my brain. Like, I don't want to be hacked. I don't need no hacking. Don't put hacking on the cover. So I did not put hacking on the cover. However, I told you I'm always reading and talking to these people who are in the medical community. And there is this underlying movement that is going on right now called biohacking and brain hacking. And pretty much everybody, whether or not they have ADHD or not, it's really big in entrepreneurial cycles, is figuring out how to get your brain to function at optimal level. So there's this thing called bulletproof coffee, and it's where you actually put butter in your coffee and other stuff. But they're finding that when you put butter in the coffee, the effects of the coffee last longer so that you can sustain your focus longer. Now, I'm going to give you a tiny rabbit trail here. I actually do not think ADHD is a deficiency at all. Personally, I think it's an evolution of the brain. Didn't put that in the book. That's just extra for those of you that listen to the podcast. I predict in the next 5 to 10 years, they are going to say the gold standard is being able to focus, but the way the ADHD mind thinks, because I've studied it so much, is so necessary for our evolution as we move out of even this information age into the next age. What is going to be important going forward is intuition, understanding people, emotional IQ, spiritual IQ. These things are going to be of higher precedence in the next 10 to 20 years. I tend to think too far in advance, so I'll try not to freak you out by my futuristic type thinking. But how the ADHD mind thinks, they do not think on a linear, logical path like I do. I am extremely logical and linear, and I break things down into step one, step two, step three, and then I'll uncover for you why does this step matter and how are you thinking about it, and then give you strategies to actually let you take action on step one, step two, step three. My son has very high ADHD, and the thoughts that come out of his mouth, I cannot even mentally comprehend. The way he can see what the future of the world is going to look like, it's really remarkable, but I am such a logical, linear person that I can't even comprehend. Years ago, he was telling me that eventually holograms will be everywhere and you'll just be able to see people in holograms. This is like 5 or 6 years ago. I was like, that's so fun. Maybe you've been playing a few too many video games. Would you like to read a book? And now they're having concerts where the person is a hologram. My, you know, then 10-year-old son was telling me this was going to happen, and my logical linear brain cannot comprehend it. But the way the ADHD mind works, they think those thoughts all the time. They think abstractly like that. They could see things on a different plane than we could see. So I want to tell you a little bit about this book now that I've given you a little bit of the history about how this book came to be and why I'm the person that wrote it. Let me read you the back cover of the book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization. Do you walk in a room to organize it and find yourself paralyzed and overwhelmed? Do you find yourself spending money on organizing solutions that don't work? Do you feel like you put effort in but never make any progress? Or maybe you know exactly what to do, and yet for some reason, you just can't get started. Organizing isn't easy, and having ADHD doesn't make it any easier, but it doesn't have to be impossible. If you have ADHD and you've been struggling with organization, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It just means that it's time to try working with your brain instead of against it. That means understanding how your brain works, recognizing your strengths and weaknesses, and finding the strategies that work for you. In my latest book, I explore the executive functions of the mind that directly affect your ability to organize your home: flexible thinking, working memory, self-monitoring, task initiation, planning, and organization. Along the way, I provide tips and strategies for overcoming obstacles, tools you can use to get the organized house you've been dreaming of. As a professional organizer, productivity coach, and former teacher, I know the organization is more than just 15-minute daily tasks or cute ways to use fun containers. I have successfully parented, taught, and professionally organized people who struggle with ADHD, and I've been able to help hundreds of women in Cincinnati, Ohio, and thousands of you on the podcast and around the world get your homes organized and keep them this way. So, this book is about half the size of my first book. So, if you saw the book or you read the book, The Mindset of Organization, Take Back Your House One Phase at a Time, this book is half that size. And I was struggling because it was going to be half the size and a book has to be so long and all these expectations in my head. And then I thought, Lisa, the book is for people with ADHD. They don't need all of your fluffy lingo mambo jumbo. They just need to know what they need to know in order to do what they want to do, not all of your airy-fairy stuff. So the book is half the size and the audiobook is only 2.5 hours. And here's a little tip for you. The Kindle book at the time of this release is free. June 1st to June 3rd, it is free. And then starting on June 4th, it'll be 99 cents through the 16th. But actually, I think I'm just going to leave it 99 cents through the rest of the month, all of June 2017. I do not want price to be a barrier for why people do not get this information about how ADHD affects home organization. Now, it's not going to stay free forever because I have it in the Kindle program and I only get 5 free days per year. So that's why it's not staying free. It's 99 cents. You guys could do 99 cents. So, how ADHD affects home organization. And if you could please, once you read the book, review it. That was, oh my goodness, the amount of you that reviewed it last time in the first month that The Mindset of Organization was out was so helpful. One, because I just love reading the reviews, but also it kept pushing my book up to the top. And my book, The Mindset of Organization, still is pretty high up in Kindle, so people are finding it. And that is my goal with this book, is that people would find it and feel empowered about how to get organized. I think if you think there's a stigma on women getting their home organized, the stigma on women with ADHD getting their home organized is 10 times. It's so much bigger. Now, here's a little secret I found out. If you buy the Kindle book, even for free or 99 cents, and then you go into Audible, pretty sure you're going to be able to get the Audible book for a lot less money. Like, I know when I bought my own Mindset of Organization book, when I went to download it on Audible, I want to say I got it for like $1.99. Like, I did not have to pay the regular price because I already had the Kindle version. And when I uploaded all of this to Amazon, there was a box I could check that said, if they buy one form of the book, can they get the other forms of the book for much less money? And I said, yes. Because what I'm finding with Audible books, well, I love to listen to Audible books. My mind hears it differently than when I read it. And I've kind of gone away from the Kindle book, probably because I'm 45 and I need readers now and I can't read as easily. And I'm going to printed books. So also, if you buy the printed book, it should make the Audible book less. And the printed book is $7.99 bought on Amazon. Now, the book is set up in 3 different parts. So part number one is just like boilerplate stuff, like what ADHD is and isn't. I give you a definition of the 8 executive functions in a brief form. What if you have more than one diagnosis, like you have ADHD and anxiety or and depression? I talk about that. What if you're a perfectionist? And then the 3 resources that almost always work for anyone with ADHD. So that is part one. Part two is the meat of the book. And in there, I take 6 of the 8 executive functions. I do not break down the executive function of emotional control and impulse control. I just hit 6. And in each of those chapters, I explain what the executive function is. And then I tell you why it's important to have that when you're organizing your house. And then I give you a story of how that would relate. And then I have a problem-solution format in the book. So problem, this is what's already happening. Here's your solution. Problem, here's what's happening. Here's your solution. And I go through the executive functions of flexible thinking, working memory, self-monitoring, task initiation, planning, and organization. You can read these chapters out of order. Like if you look at this list, you go, okay, I can't do self-monitoring, but the rest of them are fine. Then you could just read the chapter on self-monitoring. If you feel like you have ADHD that impacts all of the executive functions of your mind or multiple executive functions of your mind, then read it in order because it is a cumulative effect. Like you need flexible thinking and then you need working memory in order to self-monitor and then task initiation. Like they do kind of dovetail together. And then part three of the book are resources. So in there is the Sunday Basket chapter out of the Mindset of Organization. So if you don't have that book, you'll get everything about the Sunday Basket. I talk about the 100-Day Home Organization Program and why that works so well for people with ADHD. And then there's this whole section of the book. It's almost a third of the book, I think, that Betsy Furler wrote about all of the electronic resources that can help you if you have ADHD. I mean, I was editing this part of the book and reading it a couple of times, and I read it in the Audible chapter and I'm writing down, oh, my kids need that app. Okay, my kids need that thing. And so it was all these different resources that you can use electronically to help you with ADHD. I'm so excited about this book. I remember when the podcast series came out last spring, podcast number 94 to 99, where I started to talk about this whole idea of how the executive functions of the mind work and how they impact organization. The amount of emails I got from ladies saying, you were able to explain my brain to me in ways no one has ever been able to explain my brain to me before. Or I got an email that said, you understand how I think, like you're like inside of my mind, like you've helped me understand me better as soon as I can explain myself to other people. And here's the thing, nobody, not me, nobody has all 8 of these executive functions functioning at 100%. Nobody does. So we can all benefit from this book because everyone's going to learn, oh, that's my weakest executive function and here's how I can make it better. But what's super impactful, even more I think than people who are diagnosed with ADHD or feel like they have it and haven't officially been diagnosed, knowing how to make progress in their organization, what I think is going to be even more impactful is the loved ones that live with those people with ADHD, reading the book and understanding how this really is difficult. It's not a joke. It's, you know, the person with ADHD is not trying to make your life harder. They're not lazy. They're not, you know, just being difficult. They really think differently. This really is difficult for them. And if you can understand and have empathy, then you could be part of the solution. I've had a few people already reading the book in advance. And I've had a couple of moms say, what I know to be true is that once you understand ADHD at this level, at the brain level, at the cellular level, if you have children with ADHD, you are going to understand why getting out of bed is such a problem, why forgetting things at home is such a problem, why they don't understand the concept of time at all. So I am super excited to be sharing this book with you. I am cautiously optimistic. I just think that this book is really going to be a game changer for a lot of you, both in the self-confidence it will give you in understanding what's going on up there in your brain and the tools in order to make a difference. And then a book that you can hand someone and say, you don't need to read this whole book, but just read this chapter on this executive function. This is me. This is why I can't do this. And have a, you know, the mindset of an organization gave us a common language to talk about these different phases of life from baby boomers to Gen X to millennials. We bridged the gap of discussing clutter amongst generations. What this book is going to do is it's going to give us a common ground to discuss how our executive functions work, what strategies we need in place in order to be successful in organizing our homes, and how we can support each other to reach that goal. You guys, please go download this book, write a review, share it with your friends. Let me know if there's anyone in the media that needs a copy or wants to interview me on a podcast or anything we can do to get this message out. Because I will tell you, when you have been diagnosed with ADHD, I could just see it. There is just a cloud hanging over that this is a problem. And in my mind, like I told you, I think it's an evolution of the mind. I think 10 to 20 years from now, everybody's going to be like, I wish I was the one with diagnosed with ADHD. But right now, that's not the case. And I want to offer you hope. I want to offer you a solution. And I want you to be empowered and those around you to be empowered to help you. Have a great week.